Thank you, Lord. You know, the scriptures speak a lot about truth, probably more than most of us realize. And maybe we just kind of take it for granted. But it's in Ephesians where Paul is talking about the armor of God. And when he talks about the armor of God there in Ephesians chapter 6, as a matter of fact, let me just go there real quick. Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Pastor. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're all familiar with the armor of God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. It says, finally, I'm reading at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. Say, full armor of God. So I want you to notice here, he says, take up the full armor of God, says that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand. Stand therefore, what's it say there? No, what's it say after? Stand firm therefore, having, New American Standard Version, are we there? There you go. That's what I'm trying to get to. Having girded your loins with truth. I just want to submit to you the very first thing that he says concerning the armor has to do with truth.
Oh, that's good.
We like to talk about the sword of the spirit and shield of faith, but he says first of all, having your loins girded about with truth. Now, in the times in which he lived, and there were the Roman soldiers and others, there was a particular kind of belt that went around their waist. And that belt kind of helped to hold everything else in place. It was a protection in the area. But when it talks about this, having your loins girded about with truth, when we speak of loins, we're talking really about reproductive systems. And I want to offer to you that having our loins girded about with truth helps you and helps me to reproduce truth. Because, you know, we do reproduce after our own kind. I mean, you have to own the fact, whether you're a parent or a child and you've been influenced by a parent or a guardian, you and I play a role in that makeup. Here, having your loins girded about with truth, it's foundational. Say foundational. If you're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, if you're going to stand against the schemes of the enemy, you got to have yourself girded in truth. And so as we're talking about nothing but the truth, navigating through a culture of deception, I believe Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, and we're going to look at that shortly, is helping us come back to a place for others, to the reality that he is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit gives us the power. Jesus said, wait until you are endued with power. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. He was talking about the Spirit of truth. So often we focus on that power, and we focus on that power relative to purpose and destiny. We focus on the language, the heavenly language of tongues. We think about or we focus on the power of Holy Spirit for signs, wonders, and miracles. But what about the power to walk in truth? What about the power to live in truth? What about the power to speak in truth? So we see in Ephesians also, it talks about speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. It's Holy Spirit who's enabling us to do that. So when we talk about the armor of God and feet shod in preparation of gospel of peace, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, shield of faith, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, breastplate of righteousness. So you got all that on, but without truth, it's a good chance that it doesn't all stay together. To navigate through this culture of deception, I believe God is bringing his church back into the awareness of the Spirit of truth, and we will begin to call on and rely on the Spirit of truth to help us so that we are not deceived. It's in John chapter 16. Again, we read this in one of the earlier teachings, 5 through 15. He speaks of the Holy Spirit that is promised. He says, "Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the paraclete, the advocate, the intercessor, the teacher, the comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." Just say that with me. The ruler of this world, has been judged. Say it again. The ruler of this world has been judged. That's the truth, y'all. That's the truth. And you know when he was judged? The ruler of this world was judged? Holler out anything. When was he judged? He was judged in the garden. Judgment was pronounced in the garden. Judgment was pronounced in the garden. It was just a matter of time before it was enacted. It was manifested. Is this making sense to you? I want you to know that truth can be spoken in one season and fulfilled in another season. Truth can be spoken in one generation and fulfilled in another generation. Just mark the scriptures going all the way back to Abraham. God speaks to him and says, "I need you to know that while we have this covenant, your people will be in bondage for 400 years. But make note, I'm marking time." He's speaking truth to him. But in the fullness of time, I'm coming for him. I'm going to get them out. The Bible says in the fullness of time, God sent his son. What is being fulfilled? The word is being fulfilled. Truth is being fulfilled. And that word that's being fulfilled goes all the way back to the garden. Speaks to the serpent, says, "You will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head." That's right. Come on, just say judgment. Jesus went on and said, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. Remember, I spoke to you some time ago, and I gave you what I called 7 dangerous possessions. And when I spoke about those, I talked about the fact that sometimes truth cannot be heard in the moment. I talked about gifts without character, knowledge without experience, correction without compassion, authority without humility, wealth without wisdom, liberty without self-control, promotion without sacrifice. There are certain things that you and I will ask the Father about, and it's just silent. Sometimes it's silent because you don't need to know. Sometimes it's silent because you're not ready to hear it. Jesus is saying there's some things that I want to say to you, but you're not ready to hear those things. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. I want you to recognize that it is Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at this a little more closely. It is Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that helps you and I to be ready for the truth. He goes on and says, for he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. It's in this season that I believe truth is going to become more apparent, meaning that God is going to remove some of the scales off of the eyes of many people, believers and unbelievers. And he's going to begin to bring us into an awareness, and it's going to be pretty daunting for some as we come into a greater revelation of truth. The scripture speaks that many will fall away in the last day. It's talking about believers. It's talking about those who walked with God, but came to a certain point where they just didn't want to or felt that they couldn't walk with him anymore. I want to tell you this, that we are in an hour where God is beginning to move in a way that you're going to begin to see the dismantling of many of the mega churches. I want you to hear me when I say this. I'm not speaking judgment in the sense of I'm trying to judge anyone. I'm just speaking what I believe Holy Spirit is saying and doing in this season. Because what God is correcting is the celebrity pastor, the celebrity leaders, where people are drawn, but somehow their focus has not been where it has put them in the face of God. So people are drawn and numbers increase. But what we have to recognize is that success in the world and success in the kingdom look very different. In one of my earlier teachings, I spoke of those who are running from place to place, trying to find that word that feeds them the way that they want to be fed. They have the itching ears. They're looking for the next new thing. What's the next revelation? But I want you to understand that revelation without foundation is dangerous. Revelation without foundation, revelation without application, that often leads to a process. So you can have revelation all day long, but never change. There were those that were following Jesus, and all they wanted to hear was the next new thing that he was going to say. But what Jesus began to do was he began to speak things to them that would challenge them. So it's in John chapter 6 where we see that Jesus is speaking to them. And Jesus recognized and knew those that he was dealing with. He knew the religious spirit that was in operation. He knew that religious traditional spirit that was in operation, that had many believing that they were not in need, and we see this in the scriptures, they were not in need of a savior. And we looked at that in the last teaching, John chapter 8. Where Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. They said, we're of Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage. You need to go back and listen to that teaching. It'll help you. I titled it Operation or Demolition. And as I finish out today, I'm going to bring all that together. It's in John chapter 6 where If you're taking notes, you can write down John chapter 6, 59 through 65. But Jesus is speaking to them, and he's revealing truth to them. He's revealing revelation to them. He begins to talk to them about he is the bread of life. He talked about the manna that came down from heaven, and he was saying, hey, that was me, guys. What he's talking about is, I'm the one that provided the provision. I am the bread of life. He that eats of my flesh, drinks of my blood, will have life. They're challenged by that. But Jesus is speaking of spiritual things. They're hearing it out of natural ears. One of the reasons why we try to, not try to, one of the reasons we take time to worship God the way that we do is that we are endeavoring to get outside of our minds and really allow the spirit man to open up so that you can hear the truths as they come forth. Because how many of you know some of this stuff, your head just ain't going to understand it. Sometimes your head don't even want to hear it. But that's why we take the time to spend time worshiping God, believing that the Holy Spirit is helping us to posture ourselves and prepare our hearts. But there were those that were following Jesus, his disciples, those that were close to him, but he had many followers. And so it says here in John 6, as he begins to unfold this to them, it says, these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So he's amongst religious people. He's in the synagogue. He says these, it goes on and says, therefore, many of his disciples, say disciples, come on, say followers. Yeah. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this said, they said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? Who can hear it? What they're saying is, who can receive it? I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with this teaching. I was good when he was talking about the blessings. I was good when he was talking about the power. I was good with the food, free food. I was good. But now he's talking about something that I don't know if I'm on this or not. And I want to help you understand. You see that over and over when you've pastored as long as I have, all the years I have, and all the various people that have come and gone. Some of y'all been with us for years, and I praise God that you stuck it out. Because I know I'm not the easiest pastor to have. Now, my wife is shaking her head, so that, I mean, I'm not joking with you. She's probably thinking, or to live with either, but that's another. But are you hearing me? Yeah. See, my I don't want to say my fault. But at the end of the day, for me, it's all about the truth. Amen. The truth starting with me first. Hallelujah. But then speaking the truth in love. So people have come and gone. So they said here, they said, this is a difficult thing. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? The King James, does this offend you? You have to know, hear me now, you have to know that truth can often give opportunity for offense. I'm not going to say that truth offends. I'm saying it gives opportunity for offense based on where you're at, how you hear it, and how you receive it. Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. It goes on and says this, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. They refused to hear the level of truth. So they amongst themselves decided, we're not going to follow Jesus anymore. It goes on and says, Jesus said to the 12, do you not want to go away also? Do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Yeah. You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew. And we're not walking with him anymore. We are living in an hour where you're going to hear more and more the message of truth as God is bringing his church in proper alignment with his will, his way. That's why this message is important for all of us. Because none of us want to miss him. None of us want to be deceived. There were those in Jesus' time and those that live in our times who refused to hear the word and the truth of the word. And as a result of that, they are given over to deception. It's in John 1, verse 8 and 9, and we've read this scripture before, and you've heard it before. It says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But here's the hope. Here's the answer. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. In John chapter 9, It speaks of the healing of a blind man. What I found when I was reading this last night that I could kind of view it is in this passage. Let me see. I want to make sure I'm reading the right. Verse 1. John 9, verse 1. And as he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be made blind? It is a sad indictment to connect sickness, disease, infirmity with a particular sin and not understand that the world's system is one of sin. You and I, born again, have been removed from that system into the kingdom of God. When you and I, when you and I are challenged in working through something, it's simply the residue of where we came out of. The world is a world of sin and all that comes with it. These disciples want to say, who sinned, his parents or him, that he would be blind? To think that way, then you have to think that every sickness and disease is connected to a particular sin. Are you listening to me? When in fact, it's the world. And if you're in that world, you're subject to it. But once you are born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, redeemed from the curse, you're no longer having to be subjected to that. But what we're dealing with is the residue of it. That's why through the born again experience, it is the Spirit of truth who works in us to bring us to the place of sanctification and completing the work of redemption. I'm going to clap myself right there. Come about three more of y'all clap like you're really into this. Somebody shout amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus' answer says, it's neither that this man has sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who says, we must work the works of him who sent me. As long as it is day, night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I love it. Says he spat on the ground. Come on, somebody. Made some clay, put it on his eyes. Said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And so he went away, washed, and came back seeing. I like that. I like that. He comes back seeing. One of the most unconventional ways of bringing about healing. He could have just touched him. He could have just spoke to him. But he went back to the very source by which man is made. We are all dust. We are all the dirt. Picked up a little bit, created some eyes. He sees. Now he's dealing with, now he's healed, but he's dealing with all the religious folk now. Right. You have to read the context for yourself because I need to move on here. I'm wrapping this up. We're going to get out here early today, but you're going to be full. Hallelujah. Are you clapping because you're going to be full or because you're getting out early? I just need to know which one you're excited about. I mean, I ain't getting claps or nothing. All of a sudden, I say that. It's like, hallelujah. Okay, tell me where you at today. So they're talking to the parent about him. They're saying, you need to talk to him because they don't want to get caught up in it. I'm sorry. Why am I saying I'm sorry? Yes, Lord. So, we're talking about truth. Yeah. 13. They brought to the Pharisees him who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. So they already saying he was out of order. Again, therefore, the Pharisees also were asking him how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes and I washed and I can see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. They said, therefore, to the blind man again, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. The Jews therefore did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight. And they questioned them, saying, is this your child? Is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see? Now listen to this. His parents answered and said to them, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. And how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Like they're saying, we weren't there. But then they said, ask him. He is of age. He shall speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess him to be Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age. You see, this is a perfect example of truth in the midst of deception, and the parents needing to make a choice. Oftentimes, it takes courage to tell the truth. It takes courage to speak the truth. You know the definition of courage that I've taught you. The attitude of facing and dealing with anything perceived as dangerous, difficult, painful, or different, instead of withdrawing from it. Sometimes you and I have stepped away from truth rather than leaning into the grace and courage to speak the truth. These parents were sidestepping, if you will, the truth rather than allowing this to be their moment to come into the truth and become a disciple of Christ. So they redirected it rather than say, look, this is our son. He's been blind from birth. He can see now. We're not sure what happened. But if he's telling you that this guy did it, we believe what he's saying is the truth. And if this guy did it, we're going to follow him. That's a different place of walking. So a second time they called him and they asked him. They said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He therefore answered, Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. He probably threw in, and I don't care. Because I can see now. I can see. My sight has been restored. I can see now. I can see. I don't wonder anymore. For I found someone who can restore sight to the blind. And he's done just that for me. And now I can see. Pastor Marisa knows where that came from. He answered, said, I told you already. Let me go back. Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that is where I was blind, now I see. See, hold on to what he's done for you. Hold on to what he's done for you. Life will try to make you second guess it. So-called friends, even family, will try to make you second guess it. The enemy's trying to get you off your footing concerning the truth that you know, the truth that you've experienced, the truth that's a reality for you. Don't back up off of it. Don't back away from it. This guy wasn't a good 2 hours or so probably from having his sight back, but he said, listen, I'm telling you right now, I don't know, I don't care. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. They said, therefore, to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And I love this. He answered, I told you already, and you did not believe. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples, do you? See, here's the thing. You tell the truth. You never have to remember what the truth is. You tell a lie, you got to keep lying. He's saying, I already told you, as if my story's going to change. My story's not going to change. The truth is the truth is the truth. I told you already. You did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? And they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, well, here is an amazing thing that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners. Now he's preaching back at them now. He's opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone hears God, is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. I like that. He flipped that thing and said, let me tell you something. Right. What I want you to see there is he's coming back with truth. It's as if Holy Spirit gave him the words to say. This man's been blind all his life. They answered and said to him, you were born entirely in sins, and you are teaching us? And they put him out. Recognize that when you endeavor to walk in truth, live in truth, speak the truth, live by the truth, there will be times when there will be others who will try to discount you rather than hear the truth. They will try to discount you in order to weaken the truth that you're speaking. I'm sure this man didn't care one way or the other. You can put me out if you want to. I'm going to follow this guy because I can see now. Let me finish this up, and then I'm going to stop right here. I got a whole nother thing, but I can hear the Lord. John 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had put him out. And find it. Oh, thank you, Lord. So I want to say to you, don't think it's strange when certain friends put you out. When family members want to distance themselves because now where you were used to compromising, now you've come into a place of truth. Thank you, Lord. Eric, come on up. I need you to play something, kind of help me bring this on, land this plane. As they say. And let's just go back into trusting God. My Savior, the one who has never failed. Jesus heard that they had put him out and finding. Ah, I love this. Jesus could have heard that they put him out and just left him to himself. But he found the man. It says, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, and who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking to you right now. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus found him. Yeah. They kicked him out. But it was too late. He had already experienced the hand of Jesus, the miracle-working power of Jesus, the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. So, Jesus wasn't finished. It says, and Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is where I want to end out for today. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say you see, your sin remains. Man, what's he saying? Remember I said this in one of the earlier teachings. You can only be held accountable for what you know. It would be unjust for God to judge you and I without telling us first what the standard is and what we are being held to. What Jesus is saying to them is that because you say you see, there's no help for you. Let me read it to you one more time. If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say you see, your sin remains. It's almost to say, if you were blind, you have an excuse for the way you're acting. If you were blind, that means if you were ignorant of your ways, you would have an excuse for the way you're acting. But because you say you see, you're saying, I'm well aware of what I'm doing, and I'm well aware of why I'm doing it. And Jesus is saying, so because you take that stance, there's no help for you. We're back to truth, the spirit of truth. See, they were a people living in a culture of deception. That's exactly what was going on. And so what Holy Spirit is doing for us in this season, the Spirit of Truth, is bringing us into an awareness so that you and I are not subject to a spirit of deception, but rather we are given to the Spirit of Truth. Thank you, Lord. Well, I thought I was going to get to it today, but I'm going to have to wait till Wednesday. And I want to encourage all of you to come out. This teaching Wednesday may be our last teaching for a while in this thing on truth, this message of truth. But I'm going to talk about truth, grace, mercy, and peace. Truth, grace, mercy, and peace. And how they all work together for our good. Would you thank the Lord for this word this morning?